Who gives this bride to this man?
Her mother and I do.
It is a great privilege this afternoon to welcome you all here on behalf of Darren van der Boon and Emily Quist and their families. Welcome at this special occasion to witness the solemnization of the marriage of Darren and Emily. We will now first call on God's almighty name because we cannot do anything without his help and mercy. Let's pray. Lord, Almighty God, before we begin this special event, we bow down before thee in prayer and ask you to help us in this solemn and joyous moment. Lord, thou art the one who brought Darren and Emily together. And the moment has arrived when their marriage will be solemnized. Lord, we place both Darren and Emily in thy mighty hands. We ask thee to bless them and help them in this special moment and great milestone in their life. We also pray for the family, the extended family, all the guests, and especially all of them, everyone who plays a role on this special day. Lord, hear our prayer. In the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We will now sing the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Great is Thy Faithfulness. We are gathered here to witness the confirmation of the wedding of Darren and Emily. And we will now read the form, which you can find in the back of the Psalter book, starting on page 156. The Psalter book, page 156. And there we read the following words. Whereas married persons are generally, by reason of sin, subject to many troubles and afflictions, to the end that you, Darren and Emily, who desire to have your marriage bond publicly confirmed here in the name of God, before this church, may also be assured in your hearts of the certain assistance of God in your afflictions. Hear, therefore, from the word of God, how honorable the marriage state is, and that it is an institution of God which is pleasing to him. Wherefore, he also will, as he has promised, bless and assist the married persons, and on the contrary, judge and punish whoremongers and adulterers. In the first place, you are to know that God our Father, after he had created heaven and earth and all that in them is, made man in his own image and likeness, that he should have dominion over the beasts of the field, over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air. And after he had created man, he said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a help meet." And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God has taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Genesis 2. Therefore, ye are not to doubt, but that the marriage state is pleasing to the Lord, since he made unto Adam his wife, brought and gave her himself to him to be his wife, witnessing thereby that he does yet, as with his hand, bring in unto every man his wife. For this reason, the Lord Jesus Christ did also highly honor it with his presence, gifts, and miracles in Cana of Galilee, to show thereby that this holy state ought to be kept honorably by all, and that he will aid and protect married persons, even when they are least deserving it. But that you may live godly in this state, you must know the reasons wherefore God has instituted the same. The first reason, that each faithfully assist the other in all things that belong to this life and a better life. Secondly, that they bring up the children which the Lord shall give them in the true knowledge and fear of God, to his glory and their salvation. Thirdly, that each of them, avoiding all uncleanness and evil lusts, may live with a good and quiet conscience. For it says in 1 Corinthians, "To avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and every woman her own husband. in so much that all who are come to their years and have not a gift of continence are bound by the command of God to enter into the marriage state with knowledge and consent of parents or guardians and friends, so that the temple of God, which is our body, may not be defiled. For whoever defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Next, you are to know how each is bound to behave respectively toward the other according to the word of God. First, you, Darren, who are the bridegroom, must know that God has set you to be the head of your wife, that you, according to your ability, shall lead her with discretion, instructing, comforting, protecting her, as the head rules the body. Yea, as Christ is the head, wisdom, consolation, and assistance to his church. Besides, you are to love your wife as your own body, as Christ has loved his church. You shall not be bitter against her, but dwell with her as a man of understanding, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, considering that ye are joined heirs of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And since it is God's command, Genesis 3, that a man shall eat his bread in the sweat of his face, therefore you are to labor diligently and faithfully in the calling wherein God has set you, that you may maintain your household honestly and likewise have something to give to the poor. In like manner, must you, Emily, who are the bride, know how you are to carry yourself toward your husband, according to the word of God. You are to love your lawful husband, to honor and fear him, as also to be obedient unto him in all lawful things, as to your Lord, as the body is obedient to the head and the church to Christ. You shall not exercise any dominion over your husband, but be silent. For Adam was first created, and then Eve, to be a help to Adam. And after the fall, God said to Eve, and in her to all women, your will shall be subject to your husband. You shall not resist this ordinance of God, but be obedient to the word of God and follow the examples of godly women, who trusted in God and were subject to their husbands, as Sarah was obedient to Abraham, calling him Lord. You shall also be an help to your husband in all good and lawful things, looking to your family, walking in all honesty and virtue, without worldly pride, that you may give an example to others of modesty. And now the first question will be asked there, and then Emily, whether you accept this biblical teaching. Wherefore you, Darren, and you, Emily, having now understood that God has instituted marriage and what he commands you therein, are you willing to behave yourselves in this holy state, as you here do confess before this Christian assembly, and desirous that you be confirmed in the same? What is your answer, Darren van der Boom?
Yes.
What is your answer, Emily Quist?
Yes.
I take you all who are met here to witness that there is brought no lawful impediment to this marriage. Since then, it is fit that you be furthered in this your work. The Lord confirm your purpose, which he has given you. And your beginnings be in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. At this time, Darren and Emily, you may face each other and join hands. And please answer the following questions. Darren Vanderboom, do you acknowledge here before God and this holy church that you have taken and do take to your lawful wife, Emily Quist, here present, promising her never to forsake her, to love her faithfully, to maintain her as a faithful and pious husband is bound to do to his lawful wife, that you will live holy with her, keeping faith and truth to her in all things according to the Holy Gospel. What is your answer, Darren Vanderboom?
Yes.
Emily Quist, do you acknowledge here before God and this holy church that you have taken and do take to your lawful husband, Darren Vanderboom, here present, promising to be obedient to him, to serve and assist him, never to forsake him, to live holily with him, keeping faith and truth to him in all things, as a pious and faithful wife is bound to her lawful husband according to the Holy Gospel. With what is your answer, Emily Quist?
Yes.
Then at this time, you will now exchange your wedding vows before God and the witnesses here. And you may speak after me. I, Darren John Vanderboom, take thee, Emily Lynn Quist.
I, Darren John Vanderboom, take thee, Emily Lynn Quist.
To be my wedded wife.
To be my wedded wife.
And I do promise in covenant before God and these witnesses.
And I do promise in covenant before God and these witnesses.
To be thy loving and faithful husband.
To be thy loving and faithful husband.
In plenty and in want.
In plenty and in want.
In joy and in sorrow.
In joy and in sorrow.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
Until death do us part.
Until death do us part.
I, Emily Lynn Quist, take thee, Darren John Vanderboom.
I, Emily Lynn Quist, take thee, Darren John Vanderboom.
To be my wedded husband.
To be my wedded husband.
And I do promise in covenant before God and these witnesses.
And I do promise before God and these witnesses.
To be thy loving and faithful wife.
To be thy loving and faithful wife.
In plenty and in want.
In plenty and in want.
In joy and in sorrow.
In joy and in sorrow.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
Until death do us part.
Until death do us part.
And at this time, you will exchange the rings. Darren, do you give this ring to Emily as a symbol of your constant faithfulness and abiding love?
Yes.
Emily, do you give this ring to Darren as a symbol of your constant faithfulness and abiding love?
Yes.
By the authority committed unto me as a minister of the Church of Jesus Christ, I declare that Darren and Emily are now husband and wife, according to the ordinance of God and the law of the state of Michigan, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father of all mercies, who of his grace has called you to this holy state of marriage, bind you in true love and faithfulness, and grant you his blessing. Amen. Darren, you may now kiss the bride. And then we will continue the form now. Hear now from the gospel how firm the bond of marriage is, with words you find in Matthew 19. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? And he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whose marries her which is be put away, thus commit adultery. Believe these words of Christ, and be certain and assured that your Lord God has joined you together in this holy state. You are therefore to receive whatever befalls you therein with patience and thanksgiving, as from the hand of God, and thus all things will turn to your advantage and salvation. Amen. Let us now seek the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, thou who dost manifest thy goodness and wisdom in all thy works and ordinances, and from the beginning hast said that it is not good that man be alone, and therefore hast created him a help meet to be with him, and ordained that they who were two should be one, and who dost also punish all impurity, we pray thee, since thou hast called and united Darren and Emily in the holy state of merits, that thou wilt give them thy Holy Spirit, so that they in true love, firm faith, may live wholly according to thy divine will and resist all evil. Wilt thou also bless them as thou hast blessed the believing fathers, thy friends and faithful servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in order that they, as co-heirs of the covenant which thou hast established with these fathers, may bring up their children, which thou wilt be pleased to give them, in the fear of the Lord, to the honor of thy holy name, to the edification of thy church, to the extension of the holy gospel. Hear us, Father of all mercy, for the sake of Jesus Christ, thy beloved Son, our Lord, in whose name we conclude our prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And there is even another promise from God. Psalm 128. Listen to these words. Blessed is everyone that fears the Lord, that walks in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shall thou be. It shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine, by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. The Lord our God replenish you with his grace and grant you that ye may long live together in all godliness and holiness. Amen. Then we will open God's word at this moment. And I would like to read for you a portion of the Gospel according to John. John 2. A well-known portion of Scripture. At least well-known in relation to marriage. John 2, verses 1 through 11. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purification of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning does set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Thus far the reading of God's word. I would like to go over this portion of Scripture, and we will do so from verse 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and then also verse 2, and both Jesus was called. These are the main words. Jesus was called. And his disciples to the marriage. Jesus was called. Darren, Emily, parents, siblings, family, extended families, and all those gathered here for this special occasion. We just have read John 2, verses 1 through 11. We also have read the form for the confirmation of marriage. The letter, the form for the administration for the confirmation of marriage, refers to the first, John 2, verses 1 through 11. Among other things, we have heard in that form the following words. I quote them. So this is a quote from the form we just have read. The married state is pleasing to the Lord. For this reason, the Lord Jesus Christ did also highly honor it with his presence, gifts, and miracles in Cana of Galilee, to show thereby that this holy state ought to be kept honorably by all, and that he will aid and protect married persons even when they are least deserving it. These words are a beautiful application of the story we read in John 2, 1 through 11. It all boils down to this. The married state is pleasing to God. And therefore, God will help and protect the married persons. What a beautiful application of these words. Well, let us listen to the story of Jesus visiting that marriage in Cana and see what lessons we can draw from this amazing story, because it is an amazing story. It begins with an introduction. And the third day, we read, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. Why does it say the third day? Not without reason. It connects this story with the preceding verses, the third day. If you scroll back through the previous verses, the first chapter of John, you will see several times the following words, the next day, the next day, the next day. Well, and if you scroll back further, you will find out that it all refers to a first day, and that first day is about John the Baptist. And he is, you know that, baptizing in the wilderness, the desert of Judea, to announce that the Messiah is coming. A great moment. John, he's not important. He is just a voice crying in the wilderness, preparing the way for the Messiah. It's all about the coming Messiah. And from that day forward, it is indeed all about the Messiah. He was announced by John the Baptist the next day, the next day, the next day. And John pointed out that he is the Lamb of God, and that he takes away the sins of the world. What an amazing thing. And later you read how Jesus calls disciples, and then we end up actually, when you count well, on the seventh day, remarkable, on the seventh day we find Jesus at his wedding in Cana. Here is the first lesson, Darren and Emily. God is in control. Nothing is coincidental. Nothing. Nothing happens by accident. With God, there is a first day, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. And he is in control. And every day stands in the light, if we like to hear it or not, every day in history stands in the light of the message that God's Son came to save sinners. That's what history is all about. God's Son came to save sinners. That was true these first 7 days of the earthly ministry of God's Son, Jesus of Nazareth. But it's true today. And Darren and Emily, on this first day of your married life, you are appointed to Jesus Christ. Keep in remembrance that God is in control, and that everything that happens in your life and in history points to Jesus Christ. There's another lesson here. All the things sketched before our eyes in these verses might seem to be coincidental, but they are not. It was all meant to be. We don't write our history. No, God writes history. Things do not happen randomly. No, God is in control, and he leads everything in such a way that Jesus will be a guest on this wedding in Cana in Galilee. And there, on a wedding feast, he will begin his earthly ministry. And there, he will show his glory and perform a miracle. Is it a coincidence, Darren and Emily, that you met and that you're standing here now? Of course not. Of course it's not. It's not a coincidence that you're married, that you marry here in a church, and that God's word is open today, and that you hear about Jesus, and that you're appointed to him. Marriages are made by God in heaven. He brought the two of you together. And in his providence, he brings us here to listen to this very message. Jesus in Cana. God is in control. That's the first lesson. And everything points to the Savior, Jesus Christ. A rich lesson. But there's more. We have read how at this wedding, things almost went wrong. I hope it will go better at your wedding. Thus far, it went well. But at this wedding, things almost went out of control. Horribly wrong. Why? There wasn't enough wine. Well, that's a great shame, especially back in those days, and especially for the bridegroom. You invited so many people and you don't have enough wine. A big shame. Apparently, Jesus' mother worries. Does she have an official role there? Maybe, but she worries. And she knew that her son, because the angel had told her who his son was, she knew he's the Messiah. He's the Son of the living God. And she knew by own personal experience that God can do the impossible. So what is the logical thing to do for Mary, the mother of Jesus? Of course, she approaches her son because she knows that he's the Messiah, the Son of God, that he can do the impossible. It was her own life's experience. And she asked him, "They have no wine. They have no wine, Jesus." Oh, how beautiful this is, Darren and Emily. When worries and sorrows enter into your life, and we all know, they enter our life at times. Bring all your worries and sorrows to God's Son. Oh, like Mary does. They have no wine. Because he is not only the Lamb of God in whom is forgiveness, but he is also the ascended Son of God, and he reigns, and he is in control, and he is full of love and mercy. However, Jesus must teach his mother a lesson, and he teaches us lessons. He kindly but firmly rebukes her. "Woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come." He addresses his mother actually not with mother, but with a word. It is here translated as woman. I think it could be better translated as lady. Because in this word, we hear some respect. We hear some love, but it's not sentimentally. But there is also some distance, lady. And this is precisely the point. He begins his ministry, so he takes a distance from his mother. He came to save sinners. He is distancing himself from his mother. And then he continues, "What do I have to do with thee?" Literally, it says in Greek, "What is between me and you? What do we have in common?" This is, by the way, a common expression in Hebrew. It's not rude at all. But indeed, You're right. You hear some protest. And then finally he tells her, my hour is not yet come. He knew I'm the Messiah. I came here to save sinners. Like these young men standing here. And these women. And Darren and Emily. He came to save sinners. And his hour is not yet come. No. All everything he does stands in the light of that mission, being the Lamb of God for the sin of the world. He actually tells his mother, I am here with a task that my Father gave me to do. And I'm determined to do that task. And I am in control of whatever I do. And you don't read it, but he actually says something like, in his mind, in his heart, and you can trust me, I am full of love and mercy. Trust me. His mother understands the message. She knew her son well. And she goes to the servants and she tells them, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. She knows Jesus will take care of this problem. She knew he's the Messiah, the Son of God. She knew he can do the impossible. She knew his character, that he is full of love and grace and mercy, overflowing of goodness. There was no doubt at all in her. Whatsoever he saith, do it. And indeed, we all know Jesus took care of the problem. He solved it. He turned water into wine. But he did it in his time. And in his way. What a lesson here. Whenever there are worries, put them in the hands of the Lord. He will take care, but at his time, in his way. And he can do the impossible. This is a wonder of creation. He turns water into wine. He cares for his earthly mother, for this couple here, for all of us. And he is so willing to do the impossible and to turn what importance in God's eyes. And that and marriage is meant, you know that we have discussed it extensively during the pre-marriage course. Marriage is meant to be a place for faithful and self-sacrificing love. And that will lead to peace and joy. Right? Well, that love in marriage is a reflection of Christ's love for wayward people, for sinners like us. Isn't that amazing? And you are called to reflect Christ's love for sinners in your love toward each other. What a high calling. What a privilege. So we heard everything is in God's providence. God is in control. We have also seen that Christ is full of love and care. But there is a third lesson, and then we'll end. There is a third lesson here. Let's pay a little bit attention to the way Jesus solves this problem. It is remarkable and significant. We read about 6 stone water jars. They are further described that they contain 2 or 3 firkins. That's between 17 and 25 gallons of water. So altogether, it is between 100 and 150 gallons of water. An amazing quantity. And at Jesus' words, the servants fill them to the brim with water, take them to the governor of the feast. The governor of the feast tastes the water. And we read that to his great surprise, he doesn't taste water, but wine. And not just wine, delicious wine, the best wine. Of course, because Jesus made this wine. And not understanding, he asks, why is the best wine saved for the last? Well, there are several lessons here. Darren and Emily, for you, but for all of us. First, God can do the impossible, right? Again, God can. can do the impossible. He turns water into wine. We can't do that. But he does. A miracle of creation. And that at a wedding. He turns water into wine at a wedding. What an encouragement for you. This is today. He can do the impossible for you. With Christ is help in all circumstances. So abide with him. Follow him closely in your life. He's such a good Savior, such a good King. Well, wine brings joy. Jesus is the one, that's the lesson, that brings joy and peace in our life and also in married life. You know, Jesus didn't make that wine to bring earthly joy. Well, that's part of it. That's part of it. But earthly joy, we all know that, is falls short and is short-lived. But this joy he brings here is everlasting and all-transcending joy. It is an amazing joy that will never go away. And you'll find that joy in Jesus Christ. Israel, the people of God in the Old Testament, are often depicted in the Bible as a vine planted by God. And God, the heavenly husband, took care of that vine. And he took care of his earthly bride, the people of Israel. And he adorned her. He cared for her with love. But that vine, we know the story, didn't bring forth good fruit. It brought forth stinking fruit. There was never any good vine. That earthly bride, the people of Israel, loved other lovers, and they disobeyed God. Sinful. Here is God's Son. He came to show his eternal love and care. He came as the heavenly bridegroom to cleanse his earthly bride. That's why we read about the water pots here. He suffered vicariously so that our sins will be forgiven, all of them. And he turns, Jesus Christ, our sorrows and worries because of our sins and the consequences on sin, and he turns them into joy. He brings the vine to fruition so that there will be an abundant of fruit in your married life. The best wine is served in Darren and Emily's house. If you follow Jesus Christ, if you abide in him, there may be many sorrows and worries, but there is this everlasting peace and joy, and that abiding peace and joy when you follow Jesus Christ. You know, and you may portray what a high calling, the love of Jesus Christ for sinners in your marriage. What a beautiful thing. Every earthly marriage, by the way, is a picture of Christ's love for his bride. My prayer is that you, Darren and Emily, will believe in Christ, be his disciples, abide in him, follow him, and that you will imitate his love in your marriage. And rest assured, he promises to protect you, to help you, and to bless you abundantly. May the Lord bless these words. Amen. Let's seek the Lord in prayer. Lord, we ask you to bless your word, to be the after-preacher, that his word may travel with Darren and Emily in their lives, but that his word may travel with all of us. Lord, we thank thee that we could hear thy voice in this word, and that Darren and Emily are now married. We ask thee to help us in the remaining part of the day at our reception, and to give us travel mercies. All this in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We will now at this time sing the hymn, Love the Vine, All Loves Excelling. And we will do so standing. Darren and Emily, it is a great privilege to present now to you a gift on behalf of the Consistory and the Congregation of Providence Reformed Church. It is my hope and prayer, but I trust you will do so, that you will not leave this gift unused. As something precious to you, and you store it. So on my first family visit, the Lord willing, I will find it lie under the dust. That's not the purpose, you know that. But I trust you, you will open the Word of God and use it daily. In the morning, in the afternoon, at night, always. And we just read these words. Till the heaven, till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and grace. There is another marriage in heaven, right? Between Christ and his church. Your father read these words at the rehearsal, Revelation 19. Well, please, never forget to open the Word of God, because it is your guide underway to heaven and that other marriage where you will be, both of you, a bride for a heavenly groom. May the Lord bless the reading of this word to both of you. We will now end this ceremony with the benediction. Lift up your heart to God and receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. I have now the privilege of presenting unto you Mr. and Mrs. Darren Vanderboom.